Okay, good evening. We're working in the book of Hebrews, and I tell you what, I'm absolutely loving it. Just every time I go in there to start studying on Hebrews, it is just so powerful. And so we're going to look at the Hebrews chapter 3, and so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit teaching us, opening up the Word for us. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His sake and glory. Amen. Okay, let's read Hebrews chapter 3. So let's open the Word of God to Hebrews 3. And let's read from verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. 6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, church age. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until end. Now, we're going to talk about it. Does this mean you can lose it? Lose your salvation? And so we'll take a look at it. Now, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. Verse 8. Do not harden. Do not harden your heart. As when they provoked me. As in the day of trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw them my works for 40 years. So Moses spent 40 years putting all of this stuff together. Now, okay, first of all, Hebrews 3:6. If we hold fast. What does that mean? If we don't hold fast, we lose it? What does that mean? This is a third-class condition. I've not been into this too much of this, but every now and then I have to go through some things that we learn in the Bible in dealing with the language. And this is what is called a third-class condition. Maybe you will hold fast. Maybe you will not hold fast. Maybe you will, maybe you will not. This verse does not teach. This is very important. This verse does not teach that salvation depends upon maintaining confidence to the end. So let's get that down clearly. Does not teach that. Please know that you will never lose your salvation on Christ. Once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose it. You will not lose it. I started when I was 7. I haven't lost it. But people can start at any age and they go into good times, bad times, and not lose it. Anyone who believes in Christ, be you Jewish or Gentile, has everlasting life. If you believed in Christ, and shall never perish. Now, let's look at John 10. John 10. Good old days on Sunday when a kid puts these things together. These verses are all there. You can just read them, but now you have to open up your Bible to John chapter 10, verse 18. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So that's as clear as it can be. Now, it is very clear that a believer can never be condemned by God, can never lose it, never be condemned. Turn your Bibles. John 10:28. What did I say?
18.
Oh, John 10:28. Excuse me. Good. John 10:28. Now let's go to John 5. John 5, verse 24. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes me, that is, believe in Jesus Christ, who sent me, has eternal life and does not come to judgment. There is no judgment left for any believer, but has passed out of death into life. So, once you believe in Jesus Christ, no judgment, no loss. Now, continuing. If we hold fast the confidence. Now, what is so important? If, third class condition, if now this has nothing to do with the salvation and has nothing to do with the fact that every believer in Jesus Christ loses holding on to the end. This does not involve with that. You may or may not have confidence in your life. You may or may not. A lot of people don't, especially at death. But you will do not lose, you still do not lose or bear, lose out, lose our bearing, being on in the end. You're not going to lose your salvation. You may not lose your confidence. You may lose in life your rejoicing. You may not be rejoiceful in your life. But you do not lose your confidence. You do not lose your happiness in Christ. Period. Now, let's go to verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, now here's where I could spend a lot of time on that word, therefore, because it goes all the way through here several times, but let's just go on. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, all right, the Holy Spirit is so important in the church age. Not that important in the age of Israel, but very important in the church age. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was the one who gave information to the fathers and the prophets. But in the church age, after some 96 A.D., there is no more scripture in the church age. Sorry about that, Joseph Smith, and all of his Indians. All right. Pay attention. Let's look at 2 Peter 1. Let's look in the Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's take a look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, very famous verse. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Now, do you understand that? All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All scripture. The writers of the scriptures in the Old Testament had the gift of prophecy The writers in the New Testament had the gift of apostleship. And these two gifts, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, made it possible to store in writings the very mind of Christ. Now, here is God, the Holy Spirit, providing information for the writer of this epistle, the book of Hebrews. And if it was the divine objective that the church age would be unique in that there would be no revelation of God apart from writing, and the scriptures would be completed in the dispensation as they were by John in 96 A.D. When he died and quit doing it, don't know when he died, but when he quit writing around 96, I'm not going to argue 95, 97, but around that time frame. And from that time on, all revelation of God, all information about God would be contained in the scriptures, and that God would no longer reveal himself through dreams, visions, or any other kind of extra biblical concept. It is so important to understand this. So let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's come at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital T-S, Holy Spirit, who is from God, the Holy Spirit, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Spirit of the world refers either to Satan, the god of the world, or the sinful disposition of man. All both of these in opposition with the Holy Spirit. Now, pay attention to verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. About Jesus Christ and his faithfulness and the power of every believer, there is a warning. There is a warning. Verse 8. Look at verse 8 now. Hebrews 3:8. Do not harden your heart. So here it begins with a warning. Now, what about you and me? The hardening of the heart is something you get very subtly. You don't get it all at once. The hardening of the heart is where a little change starts and continues on. A little hardening of your heart, little change occurs in time. You subtle change your heart subtly. You're thinking about the Word of God, you start changing that. Other things start setting in to your thinking. Okay, something like COVID sets in the mind. You miss a Sunday, then another, and another, and pretty soon you just stop going to church. Now, let me say something. It is not that you stop going to this church, that's not the issue. But you start going to another church. In that case, in that is what happening, what you don't like here, let us know. Let me know. Let Kit know. Let me know. Let Phil know. Let Red know. We need to know. Chris Dave know. What's going on? See, that let us know that. If it is something about the Word of God, that's between you and the Lord. No problem. No, nothing with us. But be so careful what hardening of your heart in life. It is very dangerous. This is a warning to every Jew who believed in Jesus Christ. Do not forget, we've already studied this, 5 subtle threats. 5 subtle threats that challenge our walk with Christ. I'm here to teach you, and part of teaching sometime is repetition. So let's look again at 5 subtle threats. First, drifting from the Word of God. Hebrews 2:1-4. Hebrews 2:1-4. 2. First of all, drifting. Secondly, dropping the Word of God. Chapter 3:7-13. So there is drifting and doubting. Now 3. Dulling toward the Word of God. Chapter 5:3-6:20. Dulling toward the Word of God. And then 5. Despising the Word of God. See how it's gone now? First of all, there was drifting from the Word. And then there was doubting the Word. Then there was dulling in the Word. Now there is despising the Word. Chapter 10:26-39. Hebrews 10:26-39. Four is despising the Word of God.
Okay, then we're on 5 now.
Five, defying the Word of God. Defying the Word of God. Chapter 12:14-29. So let's take a look. 1, drifting from the Word. Doubting the Word. Dulling from the Word. Despising the Word, defying the Word. Now, while we will have this word harden, chapter 3:8, again in chapter 3:13, chapter 3:15, and chapter 4:7, hardening the Word. Chapter 3:8, 3:14, 3:13, 3:15, and 4:7. Now, 3:7. Hebrews 7:3-7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, verse 8, do not harden your hearts. Now look at verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That can easily happen with believers. Chapter 3:15. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as when they provoked me. And now look at chapter 4:7. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. How does that happen? You don't need to listen to the Word of God. Don't need me to teach it. Any pastor here, you don't need us. You don't need to hear it. Oh, maybe you might read it every now and then, but as far as hearing the Word of God, you don't need to hear it. Now, there is so much to learn and hold on to in these verses. Remember, this is written to Jews. Let's begin, first of all, turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19:1. Now, it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. That's some believers. Some believers were there in Ephesus. Verse 2. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This was said in Hebrews chapter 3:7, verse 15 and 4:7. When you believed. When you received the Holy Spirit, when you believed. And they said to them, on the contrary, we have not even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. And there are a lot of people in America that do not know it, and throughout the world do not know about the Holy Spirit. Now verse 3. And he said, and into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Okay, now, think about this. These are Jews. This is the baptism of John. That's the Old Testament. This is what they did. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit doing it at that time. Now, verse 4. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him, that is in Christ, who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, these are the people who were there, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophecies, just like they did in chapter 2. Verse 7. There were about 12 men in all. Not a big congregation. Verse 8. And he entered the synagogue. Uh-oh. Now we're going to go into the synagogue. That's where the Jews are. And continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, having discussion and persuasion then about the kingdom of God. But, verse 9, but when some were becoming hardened and disobedient and speaking evil of the way. Now the way is the early name for the church. Before the people, he withdrew from them. So, he started coming in, they were hardened, started speaking in disobedience, speaking about evil about the church age. That is, Paul withdrew in speaking with the Jews. Now continue reading. And took the disciples, those who believed, away with him, and had discussion daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, we talked about him Sunday. Now, verse 10. This took place for 2 years, so that all who believed in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jew and Greek. Now, that is, some of the Jews and some of the Greeks believed. Some did not believe. All right. Now, let's take a moment at this point and look. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir.
No.
Before we change, can we note one thing? When Paul baptized them, he didn't take them out and dunk them. He laid his hands on them. He identified them with Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Very good, yeah.
No, none.
Except possibly when they received the knowledge that they needed repentance. That was the baptism of John the Baptist. They probably got dunked.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, but not by Paul. He didn't do it. That's very good. All right, look at Romans 9. We still have people have trouble with baptism, but that's all right. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. Romans 9, verse 18. So then, he had mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me, why does he still find fault for who has resisted his will? Now, this is very important stuff. A lot of people have trouble with this, and we're going to look at it. Verse 20, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why do you make me like this, will it? Verse 21, or does the potter not have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath, perhaps for destruction? It sounds like he's saying that Jesus Christ made some people to believers, some to not believers. So we're going to look at it. Verse 23. And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not only from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. I will call those who were not my children, my children, and her who was not beloved, beloved. Verse 25. As he says also in Hosea chapter 1, or Hosea, I will call those who were not of my people, my people, and her who was not beloved, beloved. Verse 26. And it should be said that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, There they shall be called sons of the living God. Okay. It looks like the passage is saying that Jesus Christ can make a person be positive, make a person be negative. He can do that. That's what it looks like. Now, let's get this together. Look at Psalm 95. Verse 5. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. I'm sorry? Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Okay, now there's starts our deal. If you hear his voice. Look at verse 8 now. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah and on the day of Massah in the wilderness. In other words, do not do that. The deceitfulness of God, the deceitfulness of sin, was stated in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Generation generates a divine hardening. As Acts 19:8-9, God hardens some hearts, as in Romans chapter 9, verse 18. It is man's reaction that causes the hardening. Man makes the hardening themselves, not God. Man makes his own hardening. The same sun that melts wax hardens it to clay. So, there's God that gives these things out. People become hardened to it, others not. Now, any question? Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit keeps on saying, present tense, in the beginning of the quote that we just read in Psalm 95, now let's look at verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as on the day of trial in the wilderness. Okay, harden means to make hard or to make stubborn, to become resistant, to resist change. This is the hardened heart of individuals. It is used to speak of the Jews who are stubborn, negative to God. Look at 1 Samuel. I love going around to the Bible. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 6. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? They hardened their own hearts. Somewhere in the Bible it says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. No, he did, but Pharaoh hardened his own heart. hardened the heart as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had severely dealt with them, did they not allow the people go? And they departed. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. As I go through this, if it didn't flow for you, let me know. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Do not harden your heart when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now the word heart refers to is over 600 times in the Old Testament. It refers to the person's deepest place of his thinking about things, for good toward God, toward stubbornness. The heart moves toward sin, or it can move toward God. When they provoked me. When they provoked me. This refers to provoke of God against the Jews in the wilderness. Provoked is really weak for what is going on in this passage between God and Israel in the wilderness. It is used only twice in the New Testament. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Provoked. Now, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, still talking about the Jews in the wilderness. This refers to the Exodus generation. Listen, every believer may find himself, herself, may find themselves in the wilderness in life. But when you are in the wilderness, do not harden your voice, your heart, against God. If you're in the wilderness, just remain quiet. Rest. Listen to the Lord. Apply Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let me just read it. We all know it, Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now here's a secret. Do you love Him? How do we love Him? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You must love God. Not judge Him. Not criticize Him. Not become hardened of Him. But love Him. Now, let's open the Word of God to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Verse 1, Exodus 17, 1. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages. They took their time. Sometimes they stopped and just listened to the studying of Moses. Sometimes they didn't. From the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord. Now, He is with them and directing them. He is with them and directing them to move. And camped at Rephidim. From right here, they should have paid attention. God is the one who led them from the where of sin, the window, the area of sin, to the area of Rephidim. Should have been done that. They should have rested and waited for Him, but they didn't. And there, was no water for the people to drink. Now we've got a test. You're going to have tests in your life. They had a test there. People, you have to know to just when to rest with the Lord, even if you're going to die. If we don't drink, if we don't eat water, we're going to die. Well, that's not the worst thing that can happen. Death. Okay? Now, look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Exodus 17, verse 8 to verse 2. Therefore, you can't get any water. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water so that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? Now, note the two things. They quarreled with the Lord, and they tested with the Lord. Quarreled with Moses, and tested with the Lord. So we know they're in a great problem. Verse 3. But the people thirst for water, and they grumbled. People, things are going to happen in your life. You can grumble, or you can just relax and rest and wait on the Lord. They quarreled and they grumbled. They quarreled and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us from Egypt to kill us? Now, they've gone from wanting water out there, now they're going to be killed. And our children and our livestock with thirst. We're all going to die. They are grumbling against God and God's leader, Moses. God brought them to much water last time, and this time they grumble because there's no water. So that's the problem. And that's what God will often test us. Their problem was not the water. The problem was their relationship with the Lord. With trusting the Lord. That's their problem. Trusting the Lord. Verse 4. So, Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me. Moses is losing it a little bit here. Now, verse 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, Moses has been complained, argued with the Lord. So, the Lord looks at the people, and I love the way verse 5 says it. Okay, then the Lord said to Moses, all right, the test is over. So the Lord gets into the argument. Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Okay, so he told him what to do, how to do it. Now verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb. Okay. See that word Horeb? Horeb is called, and it means dryness. Dryness. It means heat. Barren. Think about this. This is where man needs God's word. This is where man needs to trust the Lord, is when they're dry. But they didn't. It's also called the mountain of God. Give you the note for that. It's also called the mountain of God. So called that as the place of revelation of God. Called the mountain of God. because this is where God reveals himself. This is the place where God came to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments at this place. Okay. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people will drink. Big deal. They doubt I could do that? Go on, I'll do it. And Moses did so in the strike of the elders of Israel. We learned one reason why Moses was so great. He obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, take the rock, take the staff, go up on the rock, and hit it, and they'll do it. And he did it. Now, finally, verse 7. Then he named the place Massa, M-A-S-S-A-H, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us no more? Now, Massa means complaining for God. So all of this was a failure at the place. Okay, we got time enough, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Hebrews 3:8. I started just like most people are doing it, going through chapter 3 and just going through, but there's so much. It's so rich. I love it. All right. Hebrews 3:8. Do not harden your heart. Means stubborn, obstacle of the hardness of the heart. And when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Okay. Now, just a couple of things. The Exodus generation failed to enter Canaan because they had little to no faith. The Exodus generation failed to enter Canaan because the promised land, because they had little to no faith. Two, they failed to claim promises and message from God. Three, therefore, to reach it to maturity, you must continue to grow in the Word of God, trust the Lord, and in all kinds of circumstances. And finally, four, what we learn in Hebrews 3 is the all importance of just trusting God and continuing to learn the Word of God. Now, Hebrews 3:9. Let's take a look at Hebrews 3:9. Where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. They saw it and it didn't work for them. Now, this refers to Jews of the southern kingdom of Judah in the ones we're talking to here in 67 AD. And this was about 3 years before the fifth cycle of discipline and the destruction of the place of Jerusalem. They have a short period of time before the great nation happens. They have a short time to really grab hold to all of this truth. So Hebrews 3:9, where your fathers tried me by testing me. They tried me by testing me. The Greek word means to try, to test, to tempt, to entice. They tested the quality or character of God in the wilderness. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. The book of God, Numbers 14, verse 22. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to me, to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, who shall any of those who spurned me get it? In other words, they're not going to go to the promised land. They're not going to make it. A few will make it, but they're not going to. Okay, we will resume here Wednesday. So let's close in a word of prayer. There's so much to learn in the Word of God, Father. There's so much to learn about people, failure, and people who lead, trust, go by faith, continue to grow the Word of God. There's so much to learn. We need, Father, more time. So I pray you'll use the things we've seen today. Glorify us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.